to build schools, this, that, all those things are needed. You understand? But when people are corrupt and they take the taxes and they put it inside their pockets, then nothing gets built, but you're always squeezing out from the people, then that's not going to work. You're going to get a smack from divine presence too. But this is part of Islam is part of a system. It's not coming. Islam is not a private, how you say, religion. You just quietly and you don't try to. No. Prophet ﷺ, as all prophets understand, Islam meaning from the beginning. It's not just something, okay, you just practice quietly at home. Revelation comes when the whole society, the whole world has once again fallen into a jahiliyyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then send another prophet, send another Rasul. Prophet is different, Rasul is different. Rasul, you may say, Shafi'i used the word ambassador, emissary. Sometimes they use as a higher station than prophets. And bigger area, more people, more responsibilities. Then amongst the Rasuls, then out of so many Rasul, 313, Shaykh Maulana is saying, Shaykh Fendi is saying, 313 Rasul, out of that, only a handful that they are given books. Then only a handful they are given papers, suhuf, leaves, like that. What am I saying? I'm saying the prophets, they came to change the whole system. To change the whole system. This is, even Isa alayhi salam, he came to change the whole system. When he is tipping the money lenders, the tables, he is saying, we don't subscribe to this system of economy. What were they doing? They were money lenders, meaning they were what? Charging interest. It cripples everything. And there's no blessing that's coming down. Wealth should be going around and around. It is forbidden in Islam to hoard wealth. You know what hoarding wealth means? You earn and you earn and you don't spend. And you just sit on it. You don't let anyone to touch it. And you get more and more and more and more. And you don't spend especially. It chokes the country. It chokes the economy. So, zakat, it is very important in Islam. It is what makes then the awam, the majority of the people, their lives to be better, easier, and they are not going to run so much just to put food into their mouth, run so much just for the dunya. The whole aim is to free ourselves. Allah is making it easy for us to live, to be able to run towards akhirat. This is important. So, the taxes have to be collected. It is set. You understand? If you have property, you cannot sit for over a year without you taxing some of it, and you have to give to the Baitul Mal. Let's say the state treasury. But taxes is only one part of Islamic economy. Islamic economy is not based on capitalism. It's not based on riba. It's not based on that. There's a whole different system with it that it was destroyed. The Ottomans were holding that. And it was destroyed because it got weaker and the economic systems of the West with, how did they become stronger? It's not so much just because of the Industrial Revolution. It's not just so much because of that. But with that Industrial Revolution, they bypassed the Ottomans. They plundered India. After India, then they can go into China, then they can go to Africa and other parts of the world. I'm talking just one power at the most, the British. That made them to become more powerful. That made them to cripple now the economic system that was there, that the Ottomans were holding from, let's say, 1,000 years before, when the Muslims were holding it. New style. And then when that's done, then what can you do? It's finished. All the wealth now, they started exporting products, buy very expensive. They start sucking all the raw material, and they're not buying so much from here. Then it's done, you understand? You're dependent on that, those products. You keep making just for each other, but you're not really producing for external, for export. Then you want to make more, you cannot, because all your raw material is going over there. So it's done. Now they say you want it to be better, don't worry, we'll give you credit. Ah, that's done now. Now once they say credit card, Washavani is saying, he was telling us about economic hitmen. Some time ago there was a book talking about economic hitmen. Country has so much resources, saying, let's say it's worth 100 billion, let's say. But it's sitting there. You don't have the technology to bring it out. They say, we can give you the technology to bring it out, but we should take 60-70%. If we don't give you the technology, then it's going to sit there. No one is going to win. With that 30-40%, let's say, you still can make so much. You said, okay. So they lend them the money, and then the interest keeps getting more and more and more. There's corruption that's happening. So instead of, let's say, getting 30%, they end up getting only 5%. And because of the corruption there, they say 5%, we promise to give the whole country. Now, since there's corruption everywhere, no one is doing anything properly, why we should be nice and honest and give it, put it in our pockets. So, it's just like you. You earn, let's say, $3,000 a month. Person say, credit card. You can buy more things. It's on credit, free. You take the credit card, you keep buying it, buying stuff. You can't pay back, interest accrues. You keep taking loans, interest accrues. You're not really producing anything, you keep buying. Now you're just working your whole life as a slave to pay the interest, not even the capital. Yes? So what happens individually? It happens groups, nationwide. Countries are affected that way. I'm putting it very simple so that people can understand. So now, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this world and us in it that there is a scarcity of resources? No. In fact, Prophet was saying, Allah has created our risk, our provision, thousands of years before He's created us. So everyone has enough. Everyone has enough to eat, to drink, to be healthy, and to be running after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what happens? When man's appetite, when his desires is more, and man's desires is not trained, wherever he sees, he says, I must get. Now what is meant for everyone, he's saying, everyone, what they have is meant for me. I deserve it. Either one person, individual, a tyrant saying, I deserve it, or a group of people saying, I deserve it, or a country saying, I deserve it, or a race saying, I deserve it. Not anyone else. Everyone else must work for me. So without proper understanding and teachings coming from the prophets, everyone will say, no, especially now. Individualism. We say, I must take care of myself. The West is filled with that. The East was not. But then it's starting to now. Individualism is what makes countries to have nationalism. Before that, it was empires. It wasn't nationalistic, meaning it wasn't racist. You understand? Empires, because empire have different people. Maybe you speak one language, maybe. And this is only very recently that we say, no. This is what it means. German people is like this. The rest is not. This is what it means. Italian people is like this. So now Islam has always been an empire. Never it was other countries. So now when they sell nationalism to the Ottomans, and especially at this time when there's so much interference and corruption coming from the West into the Muslim and non-Muslim communities inside of the empire. Meaning they say, you're Muslim, but we're Albanians first. Okay? Greeks, we're always separate. We're not from them anyway. We're part of the empire. Why? So now, Arabs. Oh, British really fooled the Arabs really good. They have allies with the Wahhabis, saying, we give you all these things, money, expertise, weapons, and take over. If you take over, we'll support you. We promise you, we give you everything. They make one deal to the Wahhabis, another deal to Sharif Hussein. Two complete opposites. Say to Sharif Hussein, we give you, we support you, we'll make you the king of the Arabs. Away from these Turks. Who cares about that? So when people started being individualistic about their race, it's finished now. Because Islam is not based on that. Where we talked about before, economic theory. And now we're talking about nationalism, because this all happened around that time too. So it's finished. So once people then, and the Turks are saying, since everyone hates us, and nobody wants to support us, we've been taking care of everyone for 500-600 years. Who's going to take care of us? No one. Then we have to take care of ourselves. Then the Turks are more important than anything else and start kicking out different communities. You understand? So when that is done, there's no more Ummah. Ummah by name, Muslim, by name, only by name. So the system is wrong. System is Jahil. System is tribalism. So Islam came to change the system. Every prophet came to change the system. The biggest prophets, they came challenging the most powerful man who represents the whole system, who heads the whole system. Ibrahim alayhi salam to Nimrud, yes? Musa alayhi salam to the Firaun. Prophet alayhi salam to the notables there. And then to what? To Rome and to Persia, the two greater superpowers, to bring down. So a new era now begins. And that era still continued until the time of the Ottomans, when they took over Istanbul, Constantinople. And that's where a new page now begins. And it stopped being an Arab empire, Arab-speaking empire, into an empire of the Ummah. You understand? Where it's not about a particular race anymore. What am I trying to say with all of this? You cannot separate. People are saying Islam is not political. I say, which planet you're from? Prophet came to bring down the politics. Are we practicing politics? No, we are not practicing it. Are we supporting this, not supporting this? No, we are against every ism. We are supporting Khilafat. In that way, you may say, theoretically talking about it, we support. But we are belonging to the system now. We don't support the system in theory, but we're living in the system. And this system it is allowing us to practice our religion. This system, especially here in America. Let's not talk about other kinds of Western democracies. It's allowing us to. We practice, we have no problems. And this system also says, it's okay for you to be speaking freely. You can speak. You can disagree, yes? So we may speak, we may disagree, but we are abiding by the laws of this system. And that is a obligation to us. So, we're living in these times where there's fire everywhere. We're living in these times where there's evil everywhere. We are here. Allah has moved us here like this or like that. We're here under our Shaykh. And this is the system. It says now this is best that suits us. Now we are here. We may have come to this country, us, our parents or grandparents may have come to this country to make better dunya. Okay. But now we have come to this part of this country, this top of the mountain, in this dergah, as a hijrah. Not for the dunya, but for ahirat. Whether you are here, really have moving out from your place and then living here, or coming here once in a while because your heart is here, or staying wherever you are, but your heart is here, it's also accepted. It's okay. Now we're making that hijrah now. And we're saying, now we are here because now we can practice our religion comfortably, peacefully. And the law itself protects us. Yes. So, don't be jerked to your parents. The bottom line, you understand? You talk about taxes so much. You ever pay taxes to them? Or they just give you money? Huh? When was the last time you buy flowers for your mother? Huh? Don't try to think so hard. So, may Allah forgive us in our weakness, that we're living in these last times and last days and not being able to carry the religion properly. But may Allah make us always to be under the feet of our shaykhs, that they are carrying it properly. And may we never be separated from them, inshallah. And may Allah show mercy to us because we are with them. Fatiha. Assalamu alaikum.